Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 40? Just a couple verses here with a big idea today. Focusing a little bit on Mary and her response to God. She had a choice, ego drama or theo drama. She chooses the God story. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 and 40. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Old translation, she made haste, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when she heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The point being is that when God calls, do you immediately obey or do you hem and haw and think it was the pizza from last night? Or make an excuse, ego drama or theo drama? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful Advent season in which we get to prepare our hearts to receive Jesus anew. And Lord, as we think about our own choices this season, we pray, as we always pray, that you'd give us spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all this only and always in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, saying amen. So, again, third week of the traditional season of Advent. I know for some of you who didn't come from maybe a more traditional Christian background, this may be new. Advent, Latin word meaning coming. Four Sundays before Christmas, we take time to prepare our hearts to wait on God to receive Jesus Christ in our lives anew. And we have all kinds of little traditions, and I think those are fun and helpful. The Advent wreath is something we do each year, right? The candles of peace, and we've got joy and hope and love, and then the Christ candle is lit on Christmas Eve. So if you've never been to a Christmas Eve service here, it is a hoot. It is a very traditional, ancient lessons and carols, the readings and the Christmas carols and that kind of thing. And it's surprising. I probably only ever know half of the people that ever show up. They just come in from the community. I think it's great. So looking forward to that time coming up. You know, this season is a season that's filled with so much drama and craziness, I think. That, hence the title of the series here. We know this by experience. It tries our patience, and that's why we're calling it Ain't Family Grand. And you've all got stories, kind of like the time when it was Christmas Eve day and a man had been arrested and was on trial. The judge, being in a festive holiday mood, asked the man, "Sir, what are you charged with?" To which the man in fetters replied, "Your Honor, I was arrested for simply doing my Christmas shopping early this year." Confused, the judge said, "Shopping early for Christmas is not a jailable offense. When did you do your shopping?" To which the criminal replied, "Before the store opened." Christmas drama. A little reminder, our stories matter. People tell themselves all kinds of stories this time of year, don't they? Right? During the holiday season, as well as throughout the year, but especially now. Sometimes people will tell themselves certain stories that may not be so true throughout their entire lifetimes. Christian author John Eldridge said this, and I thought this was really helpful. He said, "When you think of life, all life is a story. It doesn't come to you like a math problem. I know we want to be in control. I know we want steps to control, but life doesn't come to us that way. It comes to us scene by scene, right? It comes to us unfolding like a drama," he said. "Each day has a beginning and it has an end. There's all kinds of settings and characters, and a year goes by like a chapter in a novel. Sometimes life feels like tragedy. Sometimes it feels like comedy. Most of the time in our lives, it feels like soap opera. But whatever happens in your life, it is story through and through. Love affairs, layoffs, collapse of empires, your child's day at school, none of it makes sense without a story. If you bring two people together, or if you hang out at the the trough and the watering hole after church and after service today, you will hear people tell stories, right? How was your weekend? And you know what answer isn't really acceptable? Fine. It's like, that's not a good enough answer. You heard something about a mariachi band, a bottle of tequila, and a cat. You want to know more about that story. You want to hear how that one unfolds, right? And so if life is a story, what is your story? If all life is like an unfolding drama, what kind of drama is yours? Because in many ways this Advent season, you know, we could boil everyone's story down to, one of two stories, a question and a personal choice. Here we go. Are you living in your own ego drama? Or have you joined the great Theo drama, the God story that this season is so clearly about, right? Is this Christmas, this Christmas season all about you and your small ego and its petty desires? Or have you joined the God story, the story of all stories, the story of the Father sending his only begotten Son out of love for our sakes as a little baby born 2,000 years ago? Has this ever struck you as like, incredible? I mean, I think we're so used to the stories and we love them and we've kind of pasted over them that we've forgotten about how crazy it is, right? Ain't family grand, right? What story are you currently living in your life, right? You got to choose. Is it going to be the ego drama or the God drama, the Theo drama? And those choices matter. Kind of like the time when a child psychologist, performed an experiment on his two twin boys one Christmas day. Oh, that's another story waiting to unfold in the years ahead. But be that as it may, even at their young ages, you could see that one had chosen the ego drama and the other had apparently chosen a bigger storyline leading to the Theo drama. And so just to see what would happen, he filled the more selfish and pessimistic child's room with toys and games, while the more compassionate and optimistic child's room was simply left with a big pile of horse droppings. Unfold this drama. Later that Christmas day, the father found his first son surrounded by open gifts, crying his eyes out. "What's wrong?" asked the father. "Well, I have a ton of game manuals to read, and I need lots of batteries, and all my toys will eventually get broken. Boo-hoo-hoo," cried the little selfish little pessimist. Oh, on Christmas, doesn't it make you mad when kids are not grateful? Oh, that's another story. Then passing by the other son's room, he found the young boy dancing for joy around the pile of horse droppings. "Why are you so happy?" the father asked his optimistic and faith-filled son, to which the joyous boy replied, "There's got to be a pony. There's got to be a pony somewhere in the midst of all of this. Ain't family grand." You got a choice, a personal choice, ego drama or Theo drama, the God drama. This is not a new question. It's been going on. Choices have been made since the Garden of Eden. You know that story, right? Hindsight is always 20/20, isn't it? Even for Jesus' apostles and closest followers. They struggled with this. Remember the ego drama story of James and John? Portrayed rather poignantly by the Chosen, I remember. Mark chapter 10, it's recorded. These two brothers made a very egocentric request of Jesus. "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask." Have you ever heard that question from someone, especially a child? "Mommy, Daddy, I want you to do whatever I ask of you." It's like, oh, wait a minute here. Not falling into that trap. "Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Let one of us sit at your right and the other on your left when you come into your kingly glory." Oh, they're jockeying for position, aren't they? Right? They wanted the best seats of honor and power in Jesus' kingdom there, and to which Jesus replied this, "You don't know what you're asking for. How oftentimes have your children, or worse yet, maybe you, have asked God for something that wasn't in your best, It was just for your own selfish sake. You know, sometimes I say to people, and they usually kind of scrunch up their faith, it's like, be careful what you pray for, you just might get it. In spades, right? That could happen. We have this in Mark chapter 10, right? Can you drink from the cup that I'm going to be baptized with? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Firmly lodged in their own little ego dramas, they foolishly and selfishly replied, yes, yes, we can. But what happened when all the other disciples found out? They were infuriated. And what did Jesus say to them? Whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. The Greek is actually must become your slave. We don't like that word as Americans, but that's really what it says. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as what? A ransom for many. You've heard me say this several times. I say it once again. The Church of Jesus Christ exists for three things and three things alone. You know, you get everything else is whistles and bells, right? To worship God. That's why we're here. We'll worship God. You didn't come for the coffee, but it's hot. Right? And people say, well, we should have better coffee, and I insist on not having better coffee. Costco coffee's good enough. We're here for God. You're like, I hate to eat this guy. Right? We're here to worship God. We're to evangelize, share the good news of Jesus, do this in his name, and to serve the least of these. You heard examples of this today. We use physical things as Christians, again, to do what? To promote spiritual things. Think about whatever God has given you. Oh, they've got more, and oh, I wish I had. Ego drama. What has God given you? First of all, are you grateful for it? Do you have an attitude of gratitude? We've been down that lane. And how can you use this for kingdom purposes? Man, this is really a good, great question to ask because it's part of the theodrama. Here at Mosaic, we love to serve our community in Jesus' name. Right? Moving us from the little ego dramas to the more compelling God drama that we're invited into this Advent season. Right? You heard in the announcements, right? Beautifully decorated Christmas cookies to brighten people's day. Inviting people into the Theo drama, right? And inviting them to the beautiful lessons and carol service on Christmas Eve. That's a picture of what God is doing. We love that. And again, me just being me, I love to give it to the Scrooges. I already said that. And you know my favorite, you've heard my favorite story. I'm just going to say it real quick once again. This gentleman, his name was?
Armand.
Yes, Armand. Grouchy old vet, wasn't he? PTSD, nasty dude. And Carol and Mike one year walked over to his what, trailer? His home, yeah, and dropped off a package of Christmas cookies, beautiful.
Beyond the fence.
So you actually transgressed his property. How dare you? Giving him cookies, and he wanted to return what?
He didn't want
your damn Jesus cookies. I'm quoting him, by the way. Take your cookies back. Nah, I don't think so. Merry Christmas. Right? Moving from ego drama to theo drama, this guy lightened up. We prayed for him. He started coming to holiday dinners at the Webbers. He started opening his heart to God. He got saved. And then he died, and he's with Jesus for all eternity. How about that story about those damn Jesus cookies? No, we got salvation Jesus cookies now. Cookies, you say, using physical things to promote spiritual things. I can't believe you swear. That's not the point. Not the point. You can use anything. How about that? You know what? On the cookies, there's always a little invite to the Christmas Eve service. Again, I remember last couple years, I don't know half the people that show up on Christmas Eve, and I love it. Oh, how are you? Who are you? Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome. And there are people who just come for that service because their churches don't do the Christmas Eve service. Somehow that's rote ritual and all that. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, there are at least two churches that I know of that since we've started doing this, maybe three, that have started their own Christmas Eve services because we did it. Well, we can do that. I said, yes, you can. There's no rule, right? Actually, a local pastor said, we're doing ours early, and I'm bringing my family later to yours. So that he doesn't have to lead. He can just receive. Isn't that cool? Yeah, get out of the ego drama. It's so boring. And enter into the God, the Theo drama. Just an example. Thanks so much to Barry, who's leading the charge on this ham dinner thing. You know, I know some people were like, oh, what are we going to do? We're not getting the money from the Merck anymore. We can't do it. Who says we can't do it? Who says? You know, last year we've done 400. Last year we did 300. It was getting more expensive. I was like wondering. I think they're going to go a different direction. They did. So what? Guess what? We get to raise the money now. We get to go to the businesses. We get to ask you, do you want to be a part of this? 150, first year out? Not bad. I love it. Using the physical things to promote the spiritual things. Getting ourselves out of the ego drama into the Theo drama. It's so practical. Loving the least of these in our community. Reminding them that they are loved, that they can become part of a bigger God story, free of charge, no strings attached. We do that here. Well, if I take this ham dinner, what do you guys want? Do I have to come to your church? Nah. Merry Christmas. You sure? Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome to come. We'd love to have you, but no worries, right? Because there's no strings attached to God's love, right? There's no strings attached to the Christmas birth of Jesus Christ, right? Now, later on, it's compelling, and you will want to give your life to the whole thing, right? Because that's part of the Theo drama instead of the ego drama. Oh, this is good stuff. Well, later on in the story, back to James and John, they would drink the cup that Jesus drank. They would be baptized with the baptism that he was baptized with. James, church history tells us, was martyred, killed for his faith in Jesus. John was literally the last man standing, and I don't mean the Tim Allen show. Last man standing. He watched all the apostles of Jesus Christ die, and he's the guy, old man, turning the obituary page, if you could say that, right? And that's a special kind of burden. Oh, be careful what you ask for, James and John. You just might get it. Now, I discovered something interesting in God's word. This little incident, at least part of it, is not recorded in John's gospel. It's in the other gospels. Why? I don't know, but here's a question. Could it be that the great apostle John was a little, maybe a tad bit embarrassed by his own past ego drama? Maybe? Just a speculation, right? We know how this all works, right? Kind of like the time. When a Christian woman told me that every Christmas day she served pigs in a blanket. Imagine to my surprise when I found out that was code for the little ego drama that she had to endure each year when her husband's family came and spent the night in her home. Pigs in a blanket. I digress, but again, ain't family grand, right? This is not so crazy. You got your stories too, right? Compare and contrast the earlier ego drama. You do have pigs in a blanket, don't you? Oh, this is good. All right. Earlier ego drama of James and John with the Theo drama is part of the point of Jesus' mother found in Luke chapter 1. You know, as Protestant evangelical Christians, I think we give Mary a bad rap. Well, because the Catholics and the Orthodox, they pay too much attention. So what, we just throw the baby out with the bathwater? Well, because they do this, we don't. Have you ever paid attention to Mary as a shining example of faith, right? Of a person who dropped the ego dramas of life and joined the Theo drama. What I discovered was this little passage that doesn't get a lot of PR in many of our pulpits here in America, but in the early church that Mary made haste, she hurried. Oh, they took this very seriously. Why? Because when God says something to you, when God speaks to your heart, guess what? You got a choice. You can ignore it, or you can get busy and do what God said. How about that? Right? You want to be joyful? You want to be happy? Do what God says. It's really easy. You know, if I could sum up, 75%, 80%, 90% of tough counseling sessions. Have you ever thought about doing it God's way? What if you did it God's way? I bet it'd be a lot more joyful, wouldn't it?
I think I'll try God's way.
Yeah, let's try God's way. Yeah, this is good. Let's get out of the ego drama, back to the Theo drama, right? Luke 1, we're told Archangel Gabriel's announcement to Mary, she'd give birth to the Son of God. She was told no word from God will ever fail. She responds in faith. What does she say? Okay, I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Significant detail, easily missed. Dr. Luke offers it in verse 39. As a result of Mary's acceptance of the angel's announcement, her entirely unique call to the theodrama, what did she do? She got ready. She hurried. Other translations, she made haste. Look at this. Look at her actions. As a result, right? She didn't lounge around. She didn't drag her feet. She demonstrated speed and purpose to embrace and live out the drama and the story that God was calling her to. You know, God calls us to different little things. It's not one size fits all, and that's great, right? Are you accepting what God is calling you to instead of saying, well, I wish I had. Well, God, what about this? About it? What about them? Who cares? Who cares? Embrace what God is calling you to, right? One of the things that Mary teaches us is this, is that, I was talking with someone this morning about this. You know, we talk about choosing God, and that's important. We need to choose God this season. Oh, we really need to. But one day you'll wake up and grow in your Christian faith, and you'll realize God already chose me. How about that? Do you know that God chose you? Of all people? Oh, that changes everything, doesn't it? I want to live for the God story. I want to be a part of that drama, not this drama, but that drama, right? Mary was eager to enter into God's purpose for her life, right? She had no time for the small stories. Look at Mother Teresa. Same, we've studied her life. Oh, talk about a God drama. She had no time for the small stories, but she could be tough. Ooh, she was a tough little lady, about this big. Don't mess with her. She knows God's purpose and call in her life. Don't try and change it, even if you have good intentions. She knows what she has to do. God's called her to it. Ego drama is boring. It's a boring story. It's a small story. It's slow. It's lazy. It separates us from one another and God because it's interested in only itself, loving itself, which is no real love at all. This is why the ego drama cannot sustain healthy relationships. Sound familiar? Without pointing fingers, unless it's here, because you know when you do this, you got three coming back at you. You know that whole thing, right? Yeah. Small story, boring, not very interesting, right? Or as Bishop Robert Barron once said, he said, the ego drama is like a slow, lazy lake without banks. It is a life of selfish sloth, right? Boring, right? Theodrama is like a swift flowing river flowing within its God-given banks, right? Don't say like the ego drama of one frustrated mother and wife that I've heard, I've had enough of Christmas. All year long, I work my fingers to the bone to buy all the presents my kids ask for, and what happens Christmas morning? The fat man with the beard gets all the credit for it. Still, I suppose it was my fault for marrying my husband. Can we see that one more time? Since that's actually David Letterman, isn't it? He was gonna buy a large place, wasn't it, down in Derby, Mr. Foss? Oh, and Marshall Rose gave him a ticket, and he decided not to. Talk about an ego drama on late night television many years ago. Anybody remember this? It was crazy. And he kept making fun of Marshall Rose. And Marshall Rose, I once had breakfast with him. He swore, I never did that. And, you know, I never gave a ticket for 26 and a 25. And I'm like, that ain't the testimony I've heard, sir. I didn't say nothing because I didn't want a ticket. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Fat old man, okay. Anyway, ain't family grand. Ain't family grand. You know, instead realize that the Theo drama gives you a role and a purpose. It's really thrilling to do it God's way. Surrendering to the Theo drama like Mary will give you verve, energy, and again, a purpose. unlike one song from the 70s, taking from Milton's Paradise Lost, that where the demon said, I would rather be a master in hell than to serve in heaven. What's your view of God? Serving God is slavery? If it is, it's the best thing ever, right? Yeah, surrender to the theodrama. Be like Mary, who made haste to reach Elizabeth. Elizabeth accepted her role in the theodrama. It was a little different with John the Baptist, right? And so now is the time to move in the Advent season from ego drama to theodrama, from the play in which we are starring and directing in to the one that he is starring and directing in. Amen? Yeah. And we keep referencing House of David in our life group. It's true. I mean, have you seen that? That's worth your time. It's like, it's a little more license there, but it's crazy. Samuel, man, that dude looks freaky. Like half crazed. He's got a foot in the divine, a foot in the world. He's got these crazy hair and eyes. But be like Samuel this Advent season. When God called him three times, what did he say? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Move away from the ego drama, enter into the theo drama, the God story that's unfolding in your life. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, thank you for letting us be a part of your story. We thank you, Lord, that all life is a story, and we can choose to live our own small stories, or we can choose to be part of the biggest story of all. Thank you that all history is his story. It's the story about Jesus born in Bethlehem. It's about Jesus crucified on Calvary. It's about Jesus resurrected from the dead and alive forevermore. Help us to trust you with our hearts with Jesus this holiday season. We pray in his name, saying, Amen.